This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing dress. Although I am black and brown.
We kick off hour number two of the program. Appreciate you joining us this Monday edition. If you want to weigh in, the number is 865-546-8200. Kevin Copps threw 118 pitches. He allowed 7 hits, walked 3, struck out 9. He threw 57 pitches over the first 3 innings.
Whew.
But then he only threw 57 more between the 4th and 8th innings. Crazy. He pitched 90 pitches in 7 innings 6 days previously to beat Nebraska, and that winner take all. Just didn't get enough support. 865-546-8200. It's the number. Join the program up first. We got Philly on the horn. What's up, Phil? You're on 3 and out.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Philly.
Isn't it nice, Arkansas choke?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I feel bad for Copps. Dave Van Horn belongs in prison, but it's nice that they're staying at home.
Well, didn't y'all kind of figure sooner or later that was going to happen, though? You just keep using and using somebody. I don't care how good they are. Sooner or later, they're going to break down.
Yeah. I mean, and just the whole maneuver of starting him for the first time all year when he hadn't done that. He even said he didn't like doing that. Then you leave him in for 118 pitches. He basically alerted his team before the game started, hey, I'm really nervous about today. I'm going to make a bold and crazy move. Everyone had to be thinking, why is he so quick to do this? Why are we getting away from what got us to the number one ranking in the country, to the SEC regular season and tournament championship? Why are we changing now? I get that it's a win-or-go-home game. Arkansas had not lost a series against anyone all year doing what they did until yesterday. It made no sense. Yeah. It was a coward move.
Yeah, well, that guy's never won a national championship, has he?
Nope. He has not.
And he came close, and then when they played Vanderbilt and they dropped the ball, and Vanderbilt won, right?
It was Oklahoma, yeah. They had the game winning out, and three players converged on the ball in foul territory. They all three backed up at the same time, and it just bounced right in the middle of them.
Well, I'm just happy we're in Omaha now. Now, I mean, it looks to me like if we play Vanderbilt, it'll be for the championship, right?
Right.
Yes, we would not see them until the championship series.
I mean, Tennessee is in a good bracket now. I mean, we thought we was getting screwed, and it ended up working out for us. So.
Yeah, the regional was tough, but you could always see that the path after that was pretty good.
And then LSU coming out of their regional was kind of awesome for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. Maneri had to bring his boys back, and now you get the winner of Dallas Baptist, Virginia today. They're in game 3. I'm not sure if we would play Saturday or Sunday, but it should be, you know, plenty of rest for everybody. Certainly for us. I mean, we're gonna be ready to go.
It was Oregon State, 2018, when Arkansas had won game 1, 4-1, and then in game 2 they just had to catch that foul ball, and they would have won the game. When they dropped it, I think Oregon State then forced extras, then won the game 5-3, then came back and beat them the next night 5-0.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was Oklahoma.
Well, guys, I'm impressed what Tony Vitale's done. I mean,
how could you not be? Really, 3.25 season to turn it around like this, from not making the SEC tournament to Omaha, unbelievable.
Yeah, he's still got some of Serino's players. He developed them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's not forget, he was the guy that found cops. Like, that's what he does best. I think his first three recruiting classes have all been top 12, and he's got, for the next three seasons, if you look at, you know, commitments out in front, I think they're all top 10, and I think the next two are top 5 classes, or close to it.
Who won the Mississippi State Notre Dame game yesterday?
Notre Dame.
So they're going to play a third game today, right?
Yes.
7 o'clock.
Huh. Interesting. Well, it'll be kind of cool, Tennessee and Vanderbilt. I mean, I hate Vanderbilt so dang bad, but, I mean, I wouldn't mind playing them in the finals because it brings a lot of notoriety to your program, because Vanderbilt's kind of like the Alabama of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, they are the defending national champs, technically. Obviously, there wasn't a tournament last year, but they're the last team to win it. You gave them everything they wanted and more when they came here, and I think, frankly, we're a lot better team right now than we were when they came to Knoxville. Obviously, I mean, you know what you're going to get with Vanderbilt in a series championship. You're going to get Kamar Rocker game one. You're going to get Jack Leiter game two. Those guys both looked really, really good over the weekend. But having seen them before, and this team's kind of chip on the shoulder, pinch it for revenge mentality, you know, you obviously in your head you think, man, I'd hate to lose to Vanderbilt for the championship, but if you make it to the championship, what a success this season was, regardless of who you play and if you win or if you lose. But what an awesome statement it would be for Tony V and this program to get to the championship series against Vanderbilt and take it all home. I mean, it'd be unreal.
Like seeing his LSU fans go back to Baton Rouge all, you know, not too happy. It's kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, they came up here. That's a long drive. They spent all that money. I'd hate to know what some of them paid for tickets. I'm glad that they, you know, got to give our local economy a little bit of a boost. There were a lot of them, not necessarily in the stadium. I mean, they had their allotment. They had a few of the bleacher seats, not very many. A lot of them just decided to show up, look for scalp tickets, and I guess they stayed at the watch party and just watched it there, or went somewhere.
A lot of LSU shirts and flags flying up in Gatlinburg this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they came. They showed up. I'll give them credit. They weren't really in the stadium as much as I was kind of fearing they might be.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people when had at Katrina moved up here permanently.
That's true.
One more thing. Is that football commitment any good when we got running back?
Let's see. I know
this was his biggest offer, Philly.
He's from Louisiana. 5'10", 180. Apparently he's a speedster, pretty athletic, pretty shifty guy. How good he is, I'm really just not sure.
We're his best offer.
Well, so in there, what LSU hadn't offered him?
No. I think Louisville was the next best school.
Davies, back to his old self, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's what happened. Rat boy retires.
See you, Philly. Dylan Sampson from, Geismar?
Mm.
Geismar, Louisiana? Class of 2022 offers from, one moment, pop-up ad there.
Louisville, Purdue.
Vandy, Arkansas, Cal, Colorado, Duke, Houston, Indiana, other notables, Memphis, Michigan State, Mississippi State, NC State, Northwestern, UCF, naturally. So we'll see. Not sure how good he is or isn't. But we're stacking bodies. At least we're moving up in the world. That's all I got.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the running back.
I just told you all I know.
Apparently players just composite, put an extra star in their bios now, no matter what.
Composite three-star, according to 24/7 Sports, the 54th best running back in the country, 35th best player in the state of Louisiana. Let's see what he is on Rivals. Yeah, his bio says he's a four-star. ESPN, maybe? Is that possible?
Maybe. Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
He does not have a grade on ESPN. He's a three-star on Rivals and 24/7, but in his bio, he's a four-star. I like the confidence.
I can't remember the kind of half joke somebody said about how he could justify being a four-star. I don't even remember what it is now.
Currently 27th rankings wise according to Rivals.
Tennessee overall. You got 24/7s there? Do I need to pull that up?
I got it. 1 second for load.
Mm.
I was trying to find the composite rankings to see if they've updated those yet, but no luck. Scrolling. 24th. So top 25 right now, but a couple of guys right behind you.
In 2022?
No, sorry. That's where we're at in 2021.
Mm. Yeah, let's see. As of, so this is as of yesterday at 6 a.m., so I don't think this is taking into account 39th. The commit. Yeah. Oh, I got it at 38th, up from 39.
On 247?
Mm-hmm.
It says we were at 38 and we fell to 39.
I've got it as we were at 39 and we're up to 38.
They have Clemson at 38.
What are you looking at? I've got Clemson's 31. They were 38th. Do you have your numbers mixed up?
Nope. It says last updated on the 13th at 6 a.m.
That's what I've got.
That's weird.
This has Clemson at 31, up from 38. Vandy at 30, down from 28.
And I refreshed it. Still says the same for me.
I think I'm going to go with mine. Clemson would be moving up, I would think. But I don't know if this is added in our commit yet, unless it only gave us one spot. I'll be honest, did the running back commit move the needle for anyone other than, like, hey, at least somebody wants to come here?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, Tennessee should be able to fill up a class with three-star guys.
Yeah, he's not counted in the rankings because we have 5 3-stars, and that says we only have 4. So that, they have not updated that, and we are at 38. So that might move us into – we might move into the top 30 with the addition of Dylan Sampson. I mean, I feel like a 3-star in Louisiana's got to be at least a pretty good player based on the talent that comes out of that state.
Yeah, I don't think you need to get like angry about it, but I don't think there's really a big reason to get excited. Like Tennessee's going to fill up a class with 3-star level guys no matter what. Like however many big time guys they get, however many spots are left, they're going to fill it up with 3-star type guys, whether they're transfers, new guys, whatever. Like, that's just kind of like the baseline. That's just like the replacement level player. So, I mean, you got to get some of those. That's fine. They got one. Mm-hmm. But I'll get excited when they get, like, a difference maker. And some of the 3-star guys, occasionally, there'll be one or two that are difference makers. But you're never going to know which one they are until, you know, probably if they start – that kid goes through practice, starts playing a game. I mean, you might hear something about, hey, man, this 3-star kid looks pretty good. But it just doesn't really – not moving the needle.
No,
that's the exact way to describe it.
Batted Ball makes a good point, though. He says the 33rd best player in Louisiana is probably a top 10 player in Tennessee. People complain when we don't get the 20th best player in the state of Tennessee. He's a 10-4, 100-meter guy. You can't teach that. Yeah, I mean, he's
maybe
a speed back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe.
It's just not – you know, it's not like Bryce Brown or something like that. You know, best running back in the country, number one overall player, 5-star, that kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not really in the position where those are the kind of players you're going to be getting hand over fist. So
there you go. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. Hour two continues. Big day for Tennessee as the baseball team's on to Omaha. And I don't know. I mean, you got to get recruits at some point. So
you got to at least have players.
It's not a bad thing. It's just not, yeah.
Yeah.
Neutral.
Yeah.
Neutral. Yeah. Hour two continues live from the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports, Knoxville. We go back to the phone lines, 865-546-8200. Oh, the Arkansas jokes are just incredible.
Clint Feels Sterner. Good to be the villain.
Clint Sterner, the Omahogs.
Oh, did he tweet it out?
No, unnecessary roughness just says Omahogs, and it's just him fumbling the football. Just going around. I mean, it'd be one thing if Van Horn had won, like, three natties, you know, and this happens. But when you've never won one and you have a shot with your best team and you've already been up 1-0 and then you – I mean, the coach choked. It wasn't just the players.
You weren't up 1-0. You
– Yeah.
I mean, you were basically up, like, 1.5-0 after that first game.
Not to mention you choked away the last time you were right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Props to NC State, though, for not just absolutely just laying an egg.
No, you're right. Two. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's impressive. You come back from a 21-2 loss.
Did I hear something like their coach has been there for 20-some-odd years?
25 years, yeah.
Goodness, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's
And he's not like some decrepit old man. He must have just been there for day one.
I got a text that it sounded like their coach sounds like Rod. Calls the station.
Really?
Maybe that's who it is.
Maybe, yeah.
Rod, big.
There's the side state. Gig.
Yeah, yeah, there you yeah. go. They were clutch. They're pitching. I mean, to whew, crazy. Let's go back to the phone lines. We got Zach up next. What's up, Zach? You're on three and out.
Well, you say Houston, Nate, Davey, and Adam.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Morning, Zach. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, fantastic! Victory Monday. Sweeping LSU again. That's 5-0 for those keeping score at the house. We appreciate all of your tourism dollars to the LSU fans. I did hear Weigels are out of corn dogs for the next week or so. They got to get in the next shipment.
Okay. Good to know.
College World Series, here we come, baby.
Yep.
Oh, my.
Where are you jumping my call? Nate, did you catch the Virginia-Dallas Baptist ending when you started to watch the game yesterday?
No.
The reason I asked is before I get into my call, you know, there was like maybe 50 people at that game.
Yeah, that game's being hosted in South Carolina at Columbia.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, it's like it's the weirdest thing. I don't know if...
Neither school...
Submitted?
Well, we know Virginia was a day... No, Dallas Baptist was.
It was Old Dominion that was a day late.
Old Dominion was a day late. I don't think either one of those other teams submitted a bid to host.
Or they weren't in the top 20 consideration for whatever
reason. Or if they did, weren't picked.
But, yeah, that's why there's nobody there. They're playing that game in Columbia, South Carolina.
Gotcha.
Which is weird. I mean, Columbia, South Carolina got to host as the 2 seed in that region.
Yeah, lost to...
In the regional.
Virginia.
Yeah,
right?
And then they just left the Supers there.
Was Virginia the 1 seed in that region?
No, Old Dominion was.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. See, I thought it had something to do with Virginia's strict COVID protocols. But no.
Well, that might have been why.
Well, that might have been why they didn't submit to host.
Right.
And while Old Dominion might have been late, or you know, trying to get all their ducks in a row, but Virginia was the 3 seed in the regional. I think Old Dominion was 1 and South Carolina was 2.
No, I think that's right. They were the 2. South Carolina was the 2.
Virginia was 3.
I wonder
if Dallas Baptist was the 2 in theirs.
State of Virginia's regulations, the NCAA just said no. Like Old Dominion, they didn't submit, but if Virginia, maybe that was just never going to happen in the state of Virginia. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was interesting. That's good to know. I had no idea it was in South Carolina.
But wasn't that weird to watch that game And then we'll get to watch it again today. That game's at 1 o'clock, Hickman, is that right?
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
There's I mean, there might be a few more fans there today. But
probably not.
But yeah,
not for the week. Yeah,
I mean,
in the weekend.
It's weird. I mean, you know, a big play happens and there's guys in South Carolina shirts just like, oh, cool, I'm here.
Guy had a home run yesterday and the usher went over to get the ball out in the left field bleachers. So there was no one out there. I mean, they had this huge like left field grandstand. We talked about Tennessee doing something similar. And there's just like, I mean, everyone that wants to be there is just sitting behind home plate.
Yeah.
Let's say the roles reverse. What if we had to play in South Carolina? You think we'd have any fans there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it'd be packed.
Exactly.
We might have had more fans if we had been at South Carolina than we did at Lindsey Nelson
here,
weekend, just because that stadium's so much better.
I bet you would have, yeah. You'd have had all the block party fans and all the fans in the stadium.
With affordable tickets, ready to go.
It probably would have been swap out like a third of the people.
Right,
you know,
right, yeah.
Like there's probably people that came down from like further north, but there'd be more people that came over from other places that are UT alum.
100%.
Go to Columbia.
I swear I do believe there would have been.
Well, like Hoover, man, they had
5,000 at least. Yeah, yeah.
Guys, how good does this feel to be actually discussing in a June where usually it's. You know, we're getting into silly season, especially with this football team that we have in front of us. How awesome it is to be good at another sport, and you know, even for myself to actually finally get into college baseball, where it's been my whole life where I've never watched a game, and to clinging on every pitch, especially game one, which was a lot more thrilling than game two of, you know, the series with LSU, but still, even, you know, these home runs were freaking awesome yesterday, just to watch them, you know, send it over the fence. I mean, how awesome, just for y'all's radio show, to be able to have some fun, you know, in June, July, because I got to imagine, Nate and Houston, you're sitting there looking from the, you know, at what we've been through in March, I mean, the best thing you guys could come up with on Optimism Tuesday might have been, you know, basketball recruiting.
Right.
But like, isn't this great to have this feeling to be, I mean, for me it is, and I'm not, like, you guys are more baseball fans than me. You guys got to be loving it.
That was a special weekend for Tennessee athletics, really. Because to do that, I mean, everybody knows that the football team wins some games they're not supposed to, that you get that type of atmosphere back around Neyland Stadium with that program. But for the baseball team, I mean, for the university to throw the block party and then it come off and look cool and like a lot of people showed up, but it wasn't so bad that people were complaining. You know, I mean, it looked great. It was for anybody that cares about college baseball, is a cool scene. It was, I mean, Tennessee's one of the big storylines coming out of the Super Regional weekend. It's nice to be back on the national stage, even if it's in a sport where you haven't done that before, or at least not to this level.
Yeah, Zach, just to be in the Supers at all, I think is a great thing. To host was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But what was awesome for me is, and I'm sure, you know, most people listening can relate, I mean, we're Tennessee fans. We're kind of always waiting for that other shoe to drop. We're waiting for the proverbial kick to the big orange nads. And this team, and they've done it all season long, they just find a way to deliver. You know, the first game, it was dicey. Like, it was a tough, grind-it-out type game. The balls, it wasn't flying out of the park. It was muggy. It was windless. And then the wind was blowing out early, and then it just kind of died, and then started to kind of blow in. But you know, the ball gets wet; it gets a little heavier; it just doesn't fly as well. So you had to do it a different way, and they did. You know, they gutted one out, and then yesterday, I mean, I don't know if there was a team in the country that could have come in here and won that game. They were ready. I mean, I'm reading some quotes from Tony. He said our guys were incredibly focused, but they were so loose and prepared that, I mean, even he felt it before the game. He's like, we're about to go out there and just do our thing. And they did. You know, they broke their own postseason record, which they set against Wright State, hitting 6 home runs yesterday. The previous record obviously was 5. They were ready, man. and LSU was shook. The fans had a lot to do with that. The hecklers at the bullpen, you could just see it. Like, those guys did not want to have to go into that game, especially with the way Tennessee jumped out early with the two-run shot by Rucker in the first. I mean, we jumped on them early. We had a great fifth inning. And then, honestly, at that point, it was just kind of waiting for the end of the game, because there was just no way LSU was going to overcome that. And if it had gotten close, I feel like the fans would have gotten even louder, and we'd have rallied and won that. They know how to win, and they've proven it all year long.
Yeah, it's an amazing group to watch. It's special, no matter what. You know, I think Maneri, or Paul Maneri, when people kept saying Paul Maneri, I was like, pulmonary, like with the lungs. So I was like, what does that mean? So anyway, weird name. But I think he lost the game for them the first game by pulling that picture.
Yeah, when he pulled Hilliard, it was a weird move. It was a weird time to do it. You know, he had kind of settled in a little bit. I'm thankful he did it. I don't know why, but
I think
that reliever had been lights out previously.
Okay.
So, I mean, it'd be like, I mean, maybe not to that degree, but it'd be like if Dave Van Horn has a starter who's pitched a pretty good game and you're right there in it, and then he goes to Cops. No one would be like, why is he bringing in Cops?
Yeah.
Like, true. Basically, in Paul Maneri's mind, he was bringing in a better pitcher. And obviously, he wanted to stay ahead of the other, you know, Hilliard running out of gas. But that also doesn't make it the right decision. It was wrong. Hindsight's 20/20. I get that, but you got to be judged on your results, and the results didn't go their way.
Right. On the way out, I was listening to Voluntary Reaction, and I called in yesterday. Great of them guys to come in to do that on the weekend, to do it for the first ever baseball one. But, W said something about, you know, and I agree with you, Houston, what you just said. To get to Omaha is an accomplishment in of itself, considering where we've been. And I'm going to talk later, when I call you guys later, about Toppenmeyer's article that he wrote about, patience is for losers. You guys got to check that out, because he's talking about how people always come in and say it takes 5 to 7 years to build anything is for losers. And he writes about Botella, but I'll hit on that later. But what I was going to say, W said that, you know, is this a World Series winning team? He doubts it. But why can't we? Why not? Why can't we win this whole thing?
Who said that?
Russ.
Russ? Russ is wrong.
He just said he doubts it.
Russ is wrong. I don't know if it's his, you know, he just wants to.
No, that's what I was saying, the proverbial kick to the nets. Like, you're just
Russell's
scared.
If Russ just trying to, you know, protect his fandom, which I understand that. Or if he just means, hey, there's 8 teams that go. You know, if all things are equal, you have a 1-8 shot. If you're, you know, it's not like the, you know, Major League Baseball where there's, you know, whatever. You go to the World Series, there's 2 teams or whatever, or you're one of the best 3 or 4 teams in the league. I mean, as we've seen, Arkansas's out. There are other top seeds that have struggled. I mean, it's a tournament. It's a big tournament, and it's tough. And Tennessee has, you know, played really well and hasn't. I mean, how close was Tennessee to being in? It feels like, well, Tennessee comfortably made it to Omaha. Not really. We're Drew Gilbert home run away from maybe not even getting out of the regional. You know, that's the way college tournaments work.
Yeah.
So I guess on the one hand, Russell's right in that regard. But if he's talking about, like, do we have the talent to win the whole thing? Absolutely. I mean, I feel like I've maybe followed more college baseball than a lot of guys here at the station. Like, there's a lot of teams that have won national championships that you know, don't have a lighter and a rocker on the staff, or don't have a, you know, 4 major league hitters right in the center of their lineup.
Sure.
Like, Tennessee's good enough.
This will be the 22nd straight year that the number one overall seed has not won the College World Series. So it's not always, you know, the best team. You know, it's college sports. It gets a little crazy, especially baseball, where it's
Coastal Carolina won the national championship.
Yeah.
Zach, enough said.
Did you turn him down, Davey, or did he hop off?
Thanks for the call.
Oh, thanks for the call, Zach.
I guess enough said was literal.
Was literally
come back
enough
with more.
Said,
Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number two, live from the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Hope you're having a good one. Tennessee off to Omaha. Feels good. No, I mean, Tennessee absolutely has enough talent to win it. I would handicap the field this way. This is just my own personal kind of guesstimations based on what I've seen and what, you know, throughout the year. Vanderbilt obviously has – look, teams in college baseball, when they go to the College World Series, they're either good, hot, or both.
Maybe a little lucky.
Can be a little lucky, yeah. Just kind of gets thrown into hot.
Sprinkle it in.
Vanderbilt obviously has top end talent on the staff, which makes them really hard to beat. You can score on their bullpen, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the trick is to pitch really well, go toe to toe with their starting pitching, make sure you're in like a one run game, get it to the seventh, and then get a couple runs off their bullpen and beat them. That's the way you have to do mm-hmm. it.
Let's not forget that we kind of we
touched Leiter up pretty good.
Rocker, there was no touching him, but
well. When you look at that half of the bracket, and I don't – let's see. It's Vanderbilt. NC State is hot right now. I would say they're pretty good, but they're mostly just hot. So, you know, if they can continue to play the way they did at Arkansas the last two games, obviously they'll be a tough out. Everybody's going to be a tough out. It's a freaking College World Series.
Right.
On that side of the bracket, who else do you have, Adam? You remember over there? We got – Vanderbilt, NC State. Stanford is red hot.
Yeah.
They blasted Texas Tech easily. I don't know. I have no concept of how good they are, but they're obviously not super elite. I mean, they were a middle seed.
Nine seed. But they won 15-3 in the first game over Texas Tech and 9-0 in game two. Good pitching.
So you got NC State, Vanderbilt, Stanford, and
who was the last?
Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona.
Did Arizona. They beat Ole Miss last night?
Yeah.
They finished that
16
off,
16-3
right?
Last night.
Yeah.
Wow.
So far that have clinched, Tennessee, Texas, Arizona, Stanford, Vanderbilt, NC State.
So on that half of the bracket, I mean, Vanderbilt kind of has it all. They won the last championship. I mean, they're obviously the team to beat. Arizona, I think, is the next most dangerous team. They're a team that at least the baseball experts have been talking about their hitting all year being really good.
And yeah, they scored 9, 12, and 16 runs against Ole Miss.
Like, can their
9, 3, and 16. The 12 was Ole Miss in game two.
Can their pitching be good enough to, you know, win big? And their pitching's gotten better and better as the season's gone along. So they're there. So I would say Arizona's the second favorite on that side. NC State and Stanford are kind of the hot teams. So I would expect to look for Vanderbilt and Arizona to be the one of those two teams comes out of that half. On our half, you've got Tennessee, who I still will stick with this. Tennessee is not as talented as the top 2 to 3 teams in the country. But they're right. I mean, they've proven they're right there. I mean, at some point, you have to just take the results and be like, man, they're more talented than people thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, Blake Tidwell, like the pitching, starting pitching, the Hundley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kirby kind of fell apart. I don't think he's talented enough.
Against
to go.
The right team, he can be dangerous, but against the right team, he can also go in and get you beat.
Yeah.
Late in the year, especially. He kind of fell off a little bit.
If Sewell's on, he's you know, come along big time just here recently. Like for me, Tennessee, they're not quite as talented as like Vanderbilt, you know, Texas, Arkansas, even though they're out. Those teams, but it doesn't matter in a one game situation or a best 2 out of 3. Like it's just going to be who can play the best in those moments. So on our side, I mean, for me, it's Texas, it's Tennessee, and then you're going to have The DBU Dallas Baptist winner versus Virginia, obviously, is who we'll take on. I mean, that's as take care of business of a game can be in Omaha. I mean, obviously, everyone that makes it to Omaha is pretty hot. And those teams survived the week, you know, probably the weakest regional in the country, played in a neutral site, a true neutral site, which is very strange. You just got to win that first one if you're Tennessee. That gives you a chance to go
DBU,
far.
DBU, though, I'm telling you, they kind of have an impressive run going on right now. Beat TCU, beat Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, that's a team you wouldn't want to overlook, or we could be talking about them in the same regards as that Coastal Carolina team from 2016.
And then Notre Dame, Mississippi State, I think those teams are similar to Tennessee. I don't think they have the top-end talent, and they haven't been playing quite as well as Tennessee. But obviously, whoever comes out of that one's going to be a tough out as well.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's the big four are Arizona, Vanderbilt, Texas, Tennessee.
Yeah.
The other four, you know, got hot enough to get there.
Yeah. And a reminder on
but then we'll see.
The first weekend of the College World Series, it sets up just like the regional, and then the final is the super regional setup.
Right.
So we're going to play Virginia or DBU. If we win,
we play the winner of Texas and the winner of Mississippi State, Notre Dame.
I wish they'd make this so much more simple.
Well, it's the same thing as the regional.
Once you get your bracket set up. Once you get that down.
So there's the potential that you play three games or potentially five.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, if you were to survive that, you go to the College World Series final. And then it's best of three.
Best of three. Just like
which start on Monday. It's a Monday start for that after a week off.
Is it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay.
So the championship.
Yes.
The finals, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep.
I could not find anywhere where it was perfectly clear whether we were the first game on Sunday, which I believe is at 2 o'clock, or the second game on Sunday, which is at 7, I believe. I saw 1 and 6 somewhere, but I think that's Omaha time. So I think it's 2 and 7 Sunday, but I never could
find. So we are set for Sunday?
We were 100% set for Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because we're bracket
Omaha
two.
Omaha time is Central time.
Correct.
There's Davey Hudson, ladies and gentlemen.
Because notice how all of our bracket, half of the bracket, I think that's right. Isn't all of our half of the bracket was on the Saturday, Sunday, Monday schedule?
If we are indeed bracket two.
Yeah, we're bracket two. See how Texas, South Florida, Tennessee, LSU, Notre Dame, Mississippi State, and Dallas Baptist, Virginia, all those series ended today in Game 3. So that's why we're in the bracket 2, the Sunday. So it gives the same amount of rest.
Yep. Gotcha.
Headed into the turn, you know, that tournament.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Was that you?
Yeah. That was the that was the bracket page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know what the ad was for, but it had a nice little – that's a nice little funk –
I mean, the way the bracket looks, we're on the bottom right. Texas is seated ahead of us, right? Are they the two? They're the two, right? So I assume they...
That's right, yep.
And Arkansas is the... I mean, does the better seed get the earlier game, I would guess?
I would assume.
I would think that would put us at 7 on Sunday.
Okay. So we wait.
But I wanted to find that out for sure because people want to know about, like, tickets. I mean, you can theoretically buy a ticket from, like, through Ticketmaster for the College World Series, like, face value. I mean, it's, like, out in the outfield bleachers. But, like, you can buy a ticket right now for one of those games.
Like, I think right now you can find them on secondary markets for, like, $50.
That was, like, $28.
Oh, really?
Or, like, out by, like the, you know, out in the outfield.
Hmm.
You kind of want to know which game it is, right?
Right.
I mean, unless you just want to buy, I guess, both games on Sunday. That way you can watch your future opponent and your game.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, I wish they had that a little bit clearer about which game was which.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe that's just not quite. I didn't see the times being set. And on the NCAA page, it does not have the times updated yet. It just says time channel TBD.
Gotcha.
Determined, that is, obviously. So, but Sunday, I like that. Good. Like you said, another day of rest. Glad we got business taken care of yesterday. I've been told that seating has nothing to do with game times, so it might not be 7.
Okay. But we're definitely Sunday. I mean, that makes sense, right?
If we're on that side, if we're bracket 2, then those games are all Sunday. Yeah, which would make sense. You would think that the later starting series would get the later starting series in the College World Series. I was talking to a guy at the game. So Arizona apparently relies on the home run a lot. I mean, we rely on the home run a lot.
Right.
This park in Omaha is big.
It's humongous.
And it's downtown. Not that that's a big town as far as Omaha, but like there's not going to be a ton of wind. And apparently what wind there is usually blowing in. Chris Burke was commenting on this, in the broadcast, like, Tennessee can hit a lot of home runs, and Lindsey Nelson. I mean, we've hit home runs everywhere. It's not like we can only hit them at home. Are you a little worried about our style of play?
Yeah.
Just because that's what we want to do is crank it over the fence, and a lot of balls that we hit over the fence and Lindsey Nelson are going to be warning track catches or 20 feet short in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried about that too.
Later in the week, I will give an update on the best things you can do while in Omaha.
Awesome.
Yeah, I am a little worried about that because what's weird, so Arizona won the national championship a while back, and I remember that team, they talked about how, like, their team this year might hit a lot of home runs, but they thought about how that team didn't, and their park is, bigger at home.
Yeah.
If you watched it, the Ole Miss game yesterday, Arizona's ballpark looks just awful. But it kind of fit their team that year because they they put the ball on the ground a lot, hit a lot of line drives. So it's weird that they're a completely different type of team now. I just don't know. It's still hard to project some of the balls Tennessee hit that might have gone over the fence. Would those be in the gap and be doubles and triples at Omaha?
Right,
because that's still a good hit.
Yeah.
Still going to put runs up. So it's not exactly a tit for tat, but yeah, it is.
No, I'm with
you. Kind of a thing.
A lot of the ones we hit yesterday were hit, so obviously they were home runs, but they weren't these high towering lob shots. They were kind of beams that I'm with you in a big park like that. If it's in the gap, like Pavs was down the gap, Gilbert's was down the line, that's probably at least a double or a triple.
At least this weekend, I feel like most of Tennessee's home runs would have either been a home run at TD Ameritrade also,
right,
or they were on a rope so much that
they get down for a hit.
Yeah, I would think so.
I was thinking the same thing.
So we'll see. Right, let's go to the phone lines before the end of the hour and grab a Birdo real quick. What's up, Birdo? You're on 3 and Out.
All right. Ask me the question. Roberto, do you believe our style of play won't fit in Omaha?
Roberto.
That's what you just said.
Yeah.
I believe any style of play we choose to play will fit in Omaha because Tennessee plays small ball better than anybody, too. We do. I mean, we won 4-2 the other night.
That's true.
And did we not beat? Was our Vandy win? Was that not? There wasn't. No, that was a lot of dinger game. We've won some serious games this year playing small ball. I'm sorry, I'm still a little. I imbibed a little too much yesterday. Mm. Boy, we let Trey Morgan know about it, guys. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well, it's funny.
Kid.
He got it. And I thought he actually responded really well after the drop in the first inning. He hit 2-run dinger late.
Yeah,
I couldn't help but clap for him a little bit. I got a couple looks like, why are you clapping for that? I was like, man, that guy got all the heat this week. And, good for him.
Oh, man, you can't. So they didn't give him that error, Houston. I know you were in the game, too. So I didn't know that until after the game. He didn't receive that error.
They gave it on the throw? Huh. Okay.
Yes.
Well, he did bounce.
I guess
it's true. All he had to do was reach a little bit more and it had been out. But, man, after that poor kid, it was a reckoning for him. And you know what? I applauded as well. People thought I was – we sat right next to LSU fans, and they thought I was an idiot. I was wearing him out while applauding him. It's like I can appreciate great baseball while giving the kid hell, okay? I mean, never once to – you know what, though? This whole crap by LSU fans, and this isn't where I want to go, but I just saw this a little while ago, about Tennessee people throwing stuff at you and yelling homophobic, racial, and ethnic slurs at you – Go away. Go away with that stuff. That did not happen, not once.
I'm not saying it didn't happen, not once. I know for a fact I was on campus for 6 hours each day, and I did not hear that one time. None of it.
Not one time. We got called in our section racists and homophobes, and I swear to you, gentlemen, you know me. I'm a man of my word. I didn't say one swear word. One racist word or one homophobic word all day. I was very intentional about being respectful. And their fans were lobbing "you're racists" at us, all of us in our section. Hmm. I mean, come on. Come on, be better. LSU, you are the kings of being jerks to other fan bases. And yet you're soft in that way. I mean, seriously, come on.
Classic dish it, can't so, take it.
I mean, it really is sad because I consider myself kind of a tertiary LSU fan because I'm a Saints fan. But it was so fun to be there. It was so fun. It's fun to care. It's fun to be good. It's fun to have a coach that's one of us. It's fun to have a bunch of, you know, I wouldn't say we're ragtag in the conventional sense, but we do have a lot of guys that aren't really supposed to be there. Like Evan Russell, for example. He's not supposed to be there. You know? And he was there. You know what I mean by that when I say that, guys? Like, he's not just an elite talent that came out of high school.
No, I mean, he was like a 4.5-year walk-on.
Yeah, and you know what's so cool, though, guys? If you look at our team, you know, we only have 2 starters that hit over 300, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we have, I don't know if we have a single starter that hits under 250. And that is why I believe Tennessee is going to march into the national championship series. I'm not so sure we're going to win it, but I'm pretty sure we're going to be playing for it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I really believe that. I'm not sheeping it up. You guys are talking about Texas. Texas is a pretty soft, too. I mean, they really are. I don't think they're that great. I think they're very good, but I don't think they're great. And I think Tennessee just has some tenacity, and they have just some weird magic about them. They really do. Tennessee has this odd, odd magic about them. Every time they touch the ball right now, it's just it feels like they're going to win every time they play. It really does, and it's not just us fans seeing it. LSU fans were telling me that yesterday, too. They're like, this team has what it – I mean, they should know, right, guys?
They've seen it.
Yep.
They're like, this team has it, whatever that is. And, man, that felt – I'm really happy for the guys. It was so much fun with my brother-in-law yesterday.
Our religion, Birdo. Got to hit the end of the hour as well. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We'll come back.
Self-service in God's country. Sometimes it just gets a little choppy.